morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. Here's a verse for you. I want you guys to guess. I have Tuck here. Aaron's with me. I'm Roland, of course.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say it's a verse out of the Bible.
Okay, good.
I'm going to even go even further. It's out of Ecclesiastes.
Well, I didn't even read it.
I know. We can just sense it.
Tuck! Gosh!
Okay. He's a mind reader. He has a
evidently
new skill.
Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor.
Okay. I had to think about that one for a moment.
Yeah, you think you did?
It's like, what? Wait, what did I hear? How did I go
there?
The dead flies and stink was like, okay, that's really.
Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink. So a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor.
Wait, a little foolishness is weightier
than
okay. I can get because it's corrupting.
Okay, good. Yeah.
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 I was like, wait a minute. Why was that more important? Wait a minute. This is not working in my head here. But I get that because it now corrupts the wisdom and honor.
Okay, so
kind of takes it over. Yeah.
So now keep going. I mean, where does that send us in today's world and in our thinking, in the way we behave towards one another, how we look at one another?
Just like what we were speaking of before we went on the air. Here's my version, which is the Peshitta. Chapter 10, verse 1. Like dead flies, which make the container of precious ointment stink, so does a great folly outweigh wisdom and honor. Verse 2. A wise man's heart thinks rightly, but a fool's heart thinks wrongly. Yea, also, when the fool walks by, the way he lacks wisdom, and whatever he reasons is folly. If the temper of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your country, because healing forgives many sins.
Oh, man, so I can't leave the country because my president now?
No. Okay, but Tuck, we got to go to a different version because Aaron's going to love this.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to go back to that second verse. All right. So, Aaron.
Okay.
Hang on. A wise man's heart directs him towards the right,
mm-hmm,
but the foolish
wait,
man's
wait,
heart.
Wait, time out. The wise man directs his heart towards the right. Interesting.
But the foolish man's heart directs him towards the left.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, keep going. Okay, I love this. Okay, guys. Even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking, and he demonstrates to everyone that he is a fool.
I haven't watched a lot of news coverage these days, but I've seen a couple of videos of our president.
I know, right? If the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your position, because composure allays great offenses.
Wow.
Think Solomon knew what he was talking about?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, he was very observant of what human nature was.
Wow. Yeah.
And because of the fact that we know, we can read of his career, we can read of his brain, and he made many mistakes himself personally.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that he asked Yahweh for was wisdom. And that's one thing that Yahweh gave him was plenty of good wisdom. And even when he screwed up, he didn't lose his wisdom. It was always there. And so he was able to see his mess ups.
You know what's amazing to me is that when you look at history, okay, almost every country starts out with good intentions, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and there seems to be this foundational belief of structure, composure, intention, direction. And then the country goes on for, you know, decades and then finally into a century.
A century or so.
And then pretty soon everyone's getting lax and they're trying, and direction and intention seems to go by the wayside. And foolishness shows up.
And we don't need any more old dusty documents.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, hide them.
It's a matter of when they're affluent and they're making money, they don't think they have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
They still have to do it the proper way, the way that they agreed upon when they made their country.
Hmm.
And that's where that was the failing of the United States, the Republic. I mean, Washington, Jefferson, all those people, they did a marvelous job out of nothing. And they came together and they created this process, and it worked, and it worked well. They stopped by the time Jefferson was president, the third president, you know, in 1803, and they were beginning to fail. And that was, what, not even 20 years after the beginning of America, they were beginning to fail. And it's because they stopped teaching the fundamentals. And they kept on relying upon self because they were making money. And we're all guilty of that. I mean, look at your own life. And when you got affluent and when you got big bucks in your pocket, you were feeling mighty big of yourself. And that's the greatest thing that we have, the greatest challenge of being a human is turning away from Yahweh. And
yeah, but I think even if... Okay. Still, the Constitution, even the bringing together of the U.S., okay, many of its points are based on biblical stuff.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, man gets in the way. And King Solomon tells us all is vanity. So I'm coming to the conclusion, I mean, the only thing that's wisdom, okay, the Bible uses terms like wisdom, truth, knowledge. What's it referring to?
It's referring to itself.
Well, Yahweh.
Yeah, not us.
Yeah.
So, okay, so if I take that picture, I know that there's only going to be one real answer. And I'm wondering if that's the reason why Solomon says things like everything is vanity. Because anything that we do ends up
in vanity.
Yeah. In vanity.
Right.
Well, so long as we don't put Yahweh first, it will be, you know, so we have to follow everything that he teaches us.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at this here. I'm going to pull this up just so we can read it again. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? I'm wondering that here, just like yesterday, I was working really hard. And I'm saying to myself, why am I doing
this? Why am I working so hard?
And then read on. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. This guy could write. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full.
Yeah, true.
Okay. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Wow. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, yet to be among those who come after. Vanity of wisdom is what that's called.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the vanity of man's wisdom, because we don't necessarily understand things.
We think we do, but, you know, that's what Solomon was writing about, is that, you know, we get so full of ourselves that we think we have it all and we don't even have the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, so where does that leave us? I mean, it's like, where does that put us? Right now, we can see foolishness directly in our face, okay, in our governments, in our social systems, in our schools.
In our neighbors.
In our neighbors, okay? Up is down is up. You know, left is right is left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing. We just heard on the radio the other day a Marine who protected a subway train against a man who is threatening people, who had a rap sheet as long as your arms and legs together.
Yeah.
And he held them down on the ground. The man dies, but the Marine is the one that's being charged with manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he protected this train.
Yeah.
Why does that happen? And men that are taking awards from women, and I mean, the world is messed up.
Hugely.
All is vanity, right?
Yeah.
So where does that put us?
That puts us in trying to make people aware, not make it the wrong word, but bring to awareness the truth of this word, of this document, this Tanakh in the New Testament.
Okay, what is that truth?
The truth is that Yahweh is speaking of his character, of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we should be living by.
So when we're not living by it, we're the fool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
We're the
sure.
fool.
Yep.
We're the one going left rather than right.
Yeah. Well, that's what he wrote in here years ago, that we will come to a day, and we're at that day, to where wrong is right and right is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon wrote, vanity of vanities. You know, all this stuff is, you know, driving people crazy.
Yeah.
And people don't care anymore. People don't want to take part in this process because it's why?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Mm.
You know, and I get it. But you have to keep on. If I want to complain about anything,
mm-hmm.
I have to be taking part in the system. And because if you don't take part in the system around you, in the governance of your social lives, of your governmental lives, of your republic, of your neighborhood, or whatever you want to term it as, if you don't take part in the system, you have no business complaining about anything.
But I think I want to be taking part in this, in the system of Yahweh.
Well, yeah, for sure.
You know, yeah, I'm stuck with this earth. Let me read the final chapter of Ecclesiastes. Okay, you guys ready?
Sure.
All right. Everyone pull it up.
Chapter 12.
So everyone pull it up so you can read different versions. Aaron, I don't know if you want to pull something up, but I'm in the New American Standard. And Tuck, what are you in?
The Peshitta.
The what?
The Peshitta from the ancient Eastern text.
Ooh. Aaron, got anything?
Mine is American Standard, but I can change that.
Okay. So let's read it here for a minute. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Delight in what? Your days when you were a kid? Is that how you guys are reading?
Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you remember, having no pleasure in them, the days of your youth.
Yeah. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle, because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim. And the doors on the street are shut, as the sound of the grinding mill is low. And one will rise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. What picture do you get in your mind when you're reading that, you guys?
Hmm.
I see a agricultural community because it's in a neighborhood. The ears of and the ears shall be so dulled that the sound of women grinding at the mill is low. So you're in a community where a group of women are grinding grain down into flour, into powder. And so that sound is low, is small in volume. Does that mean that there's not very many doing it? Or, I mean, that's the implication that I'm getting, is that there are less and less people doing that. And the sound of women, at, let's see, grinding at the mill is slow, and a man shall rise up at the song of birds, and the sound of women shall singing shall be low.
Everything is darkened. Notice that the stars are darkened. The clouds return after the rain. That means we still have cloud cover,
mm-hmm.
even when there shouldn't be, because the rain has stopped. This creates, in my mind, a picture of doom and gloom.
Well, that's kind of where I was going, too. I mean, you think about this imagery that they're, he's using here is a dark, stormy night. You know, it's gone into night. You still have the cloud cover. It's still rain. And it's very dark and still. People aren't doing anything because, well, it's nighttime. You contrast that to time periods. Throughout history. And it's like the world is going dark.
Yeah, and even notice the first verse. I no longer have delight in the days of my youth.
Yeah.
So we've come to this point. We've seen it happened in the Holocaust. We watched mm-hmm. it happen in the Great Depression. We watched it during World War I. We watched it in the Spanish Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you're on this, well, look at the early Testament church when the Romans took them and dragged them out of their homes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the grinding stops. It gets low. The songs are low. Everything's quiet. Everything's dark.
And when the light comes back, it takes time to rebuild all of that because so much was, you know, shut down and closed and turned off and all of that.
Yeah.
It takes time to kind of get that all going again.
Remember the pictures of COVID in the cities?
Yeah.
Everything's shuttered down.
Yeah.
There's no movement. So look at verse 5. Furthermore, so he goes on, men are afraid of a high place and of terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street. This is dark.
Yeah, it's getting really dark now, yeah.
And then he says in verse 6, remember him. Him is capitalized. Before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed, and the pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Wow. So before we read verse 9, what picture does that give you?
Just more of the same. That it's. I mean, it really has come to an end.
And everything's held by God.
Yeah.
So even though we're doing oil, even though we've mm-hmm. done this thing, what matters is that our spirit, everything returns to Yahweh.
Yeah.
Well, what it speaks to me is that exactly what you said, but in addition to that, what has been done poorly.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And so it's not that we've done it correctly and we're getting punished. We have done it poorly and we're being punished.
God, Tuck. Verse 9, in addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. So I'd have to ask myself, well, what is wisdom? Okay, what is knowledge? But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion. when all has been heard, is fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Because Yahweh will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil.
Yeah.
Whoa. I don't know about you guys, but I'm always inundated every week by someone sending me, you've got to read this. You got to see this. There's a video on this, and this preacher's saying this, and this one claims this. And I'm going, shoot, what am I going to get time?
Right, yeah, right.
And I do appreciate many things that come my way, right? I mean, people share things with you, and you go, yeah, that's a cool bit of that's a nugget of knowledge.
Yeah, I get you know, alerts on my phone from different outlets that I've subscribed to, and saying, hey, you know, like my Paramount Plus will say, hey, new TV show coming out, and you know, Daily Wire say, hey, this new article and whatever. And so I get all these different things all the time, and it's like I can't, and emails, I can't read them all. So I'm reading these headlines going, wow, that's a big deal. Okay, back to work. You know, it's like I don't have. I want to get into it, but you say it's a time.
Yeah,
you know, we don't get the time to kind of get into all of this stuff.
Yeah, I love how Solomon brings us all down. Right.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things that you guys ought to do. Fear God, keep His commandments.
Yep.
Wow.
Start there. If you got the extra time, bonus.
Bonus.
And that's what Solomon tells us early on. And Proverbs is, you know, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. He doesn't say it's all knowledge, it says it's the beginning. You know, and so having fear of Yahweh is what we're to hold on to, but that's going to be the beginning of our education.
So as I think this is going to lead us into, we're going to be talking a little bit more about prophecy here today. Dr. Richard Ruling's coming back on with us here at the bottom of the hour. Many times I see people fearing prophecy or getting all wound up into it.
Yeah.
But I find myself, I don't know about you guys, but when I let that course happen, when it happens to me physically, mentally, and spiritually, it gets wearisome.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep going back to the Word of God. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And if I focus on that, I seem to deal with prophecy a whole lot better. I don't know about you too. But.
Well, yeah, when I ask those questions without the focus on Yahweh, it's very daunting. When I add the Yahweh
equation
portion back into it, it's like, oh, well, it's His plan. It's going to be what it is,
yeah.
You know, and I'm going to be okay because I know the end. I've read the end of the book.
What if you're not okay? What if you're taken out and murdered tomorrow or thrown in prison for writing a nasty email?
But still, that His will be done. If He's going to use me in this manner, He's going to use me in this manner. I need to relish in that and love my Lord. Uh-huh. And if He wants me to be a martyr, so be it.
So be it. Yeah.
You know, I cannot go against Him. I don't have to understand all these things. It would be nice sometimes. That's why He gave us these brains to use, to think and to discover things.
Remind me of the brain thing later.
We don't have to understand all things to have a good life.
Right.
Right. Aaron?
Well, that's kind of where I was going as well. It's like, it would really stink to be, you know, thrown in prison and wait for my family and eventually murdered, but I have to rest in the fact, and I would rest in the fact, if Yahweh is still in control, and as long as I am still connected with Him and I'm doing what I believe is His will, I'm going to be okay in the end. I'm going to come back.
Yeah, dust returns to death, dust, and the spirit returns to the spirit.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back.
You're listening. listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Are you tired of getting sick? We have a book just for you. It's called Health, Happiness, and Destiny. Come from Wise Choices. Written to you from Dr. Richard Ruling, a doctorate in health. You need to get this book. It shows how food can be your best medicine and how most diseases are reversible. Look this up on Hebrew Nation Radio online. Health, Happiness, and Destiny by Dr. Richard Ruling at the Marketplace.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys.
The constant battle of technology. That's our subtitle of the show.
I had something cool I was going to share with you guys. I was looking this up the other day because I was reading the Vanity of Vanity Things, and I was thinking about knowledge and, you know, how smart we think we are. And I found out that we are.
Well, how smart you all think you are.
Yeah.
Some of us know exactly how smart we are.
Well, I think.
Or not.
I think we're kind of smart.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Only kind of.
That's the key, Rollins. Kind of.
So did you ever hear the term that we only use 10% of our brain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely 3%.
Actually, they're finding out that we use a much bigger portion of our brain than we actually thought. So the studies are showing that even while we sleep, our brain is being used.
Well, see, you know, I've thought about that a lot, and I was like, I just don't understand how that is. And maybe they just are meaning the thought was the capacity, only 10% of the capacity of it, not the, you know, the physical, only 10% of it physically. It was like,
yeah.
There's so many different things that we do, and there's different, they say, you know, these different things are a different part of the brain. How are we only using 10%?
Yeah, I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
But the problem is we have to access it.
Right.
And that's where it gets troubling.
Yeah.
Okay, like,
Somebody's brains are troubling, but
right.
Whatever. Keep going.
Like right now, I can't access the things I know in my brain to fix this computer.
Yes.
I actually need Phil's brain to actually fix it. You know, but since I don't do it a lot, I have no access. But
yeah.
It doesn't mean it's not there.
Right. You mean, you know, all of our thoughts that we have had, maybe not all the thoughts we've had over our years, they're in there.
Yeah.
It's just we haven't accessed them enough to be able to recall them at any certain time. But sometimes, you know, a piece of music will come up
or a certain smell will come up.
Yeah. Right. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that memory.
Okay, so let me fill you in
okay.
on why it might be difficult to access this. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. As you guys know, most computers come with this idea of a terabyte or half a terabyte, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In fact, if you go back 7 or 8 years, most of computers thought it was really big if we had 80 gigabytes, which is only 8% of a terabyte.
Yeah.
So 80 gigabytes is only 8% of a terabyte.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we made some huge advancements. One of these is eventually we reached the petabyte. Okay. Now the petabyte is 1,000 times bigger than the terabyte.
Okay. So that's the next.
That's
increment.
Where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay. So one petabyte is 1 quadrillion bytes.
Okay.
Petabyte is 1 quadrillion bytes.
So think about it. A million is 1 with 6 zeros.
Mm-hmm.
A billion is 9 zeros. A trillion is 12 zeros. A quadrillion is 15 zeros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay,
I just had a penny for each petabyte.
Oh. Okay, so now get hold of this. 1 petabyte is the amount of data 1 cubic millimeter of brain tissue can hold.
Oh, good grief.
That's a millimeter of brain tissue. So even, yeah.
Very small.
You think?
Wow.
Now, This guy who wrote this, he's assuming that 25% of the brain is dedicated to memory.
Okay.
All the rest is dealing with function. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The average brain has 1,195,000 cubic millimeters in size.
Okay.
Okay, so your average brain is 1,195 cubic millimeters in size. Got it?
Okay.
So 25% of that is 298,750 cubic millimeters. So 25% of our full brain size is 298,750 cubic millimeters.
So almost 200.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now, if we were to take that size and give it to the petabytes of data, remember, mm-hmm. one petabyte is one cubic millimeter. So if we add that to 298,000 cubic millimeters, I can't even read the numbers that it is equivalent
pretty
to.
Pretty fast. It's, yeah.
Okay? But he did give it down in this short form. All right?
Okay.
Here you go. A Blu-ray disc that you put into your
mm-hmm.
TV or whatever can hold 25 gigabytes of data. That's 5 hours of hard drive video.
Okay.
Therefore, your brain memory can hold 12 billion Blu-ray discs. That's around 60 billion hours of hard drive video.
That's why Yahweh knew what he was doing when he made us. We just don't know how to do it.
We don't know how to access it.
No, we don't.
And that's in, you know, whatever 4K, 5K, 25K HD video, you know.
Yeah.
I thought you'd like this today. I mean, I'm going, so what's wrong with us? Why have we gone left rather than right? If we know all this information.
Because we know all this information.
Okay, expand that thought. What does that mean to you?
Well, the ego comes in then, because I know all of this stuff. You know, we have all of this knowledge. We're so smart. We have created the technology to go to space. We've created the technology to fly across the country. We've created automobiles. We know so much. We are so smart.
I've heard that argument. In fact, it was coming up in one of the discussions with one of the talking heads, you know, either who's the guy that talks really fast with the dark hair? He's younger. Ben Shapiro.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so there's this kid that comes out of the audience. He's a college graduate. And he says, I don't know why, Ben, you want to put everyone in this cubicle when it comes to the gender thing. He says, because we've advanced so much that why shouldn't we be able to classify ourselves in any way we want? We have the freedom to be who we want. We have the knowledge to go where we want to go. We don't have to be limited by old thought processes.
Yeah. Okay.
So what you just said, that's one of the arguments. This freedom, this huge amount of knowledge, we can be whoever we want to be.
Yes. I would really be interested to hear what Ben's response to that was, but it's just kind of interesting to think, yes, you can be whoever you want, but your physical body is a male body or a female body.
Yeah, Ben actually related it to, he said, well, you can have as much knowledge as you want, and you can be as free as you want, but if you jump off this building, you will die.
That's right.
Yeah. Gravity
will work regardless of how dumb you are or how smart you are.
Exactly.
It works. It still works.
For everybody. And so, yeah.
I identify as a bird, so I'm going to jump off this building.
Yeah.
How's that going to work for you?
I know, right? The Proverb of Solomon in the Book of Proverbs, I was wanting to start here because Tuck started down this road before we're at the break. It says, to know wisdom and instruction. That's the first line.
Mm-hmm.
To know wisdom and instruction.
Well, hey, okay.
Where does this come from?
It says right there that there are two different things.
Yeah.
That your instruction, the teaching, is different than the wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's two separate things. If it was one thing, it would just say
to know wisdom.
Right.
Or to know instruction.
Right. But they're two separate things that are dependent on each other.
To know wisdom and instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Instruction, if I were to take that word, I mean, how does someone become wise? I mean, I can have tons of knowledge, but how do I become wise?
Get out of the university.
Well, it's through practical instruction, right?
Right. You have to take all of that, the instruction, the education, and put it into practice. You have to go out into the world and take that knowledge and do it.
Otherwise, knowledge is worthless.
Right. I mean, you know, we talk about all of the business instructors that are, you know, the professors of business in all of these universities. How many times have they gone out and put everything at risk to build a business? They can tell you everything about how to do it.
I know, right? Doesn't that blow you away?
But they've never done it. Well, some of them have, of course. Yeah. But as a majority, most of them, they leave university with their whatever level of degree they just got, and they go into another and they teach that same thing. Whereas somebody like a Donald Trump, mm-hmm. who has taken that, he went to school and he went out and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he built an empire and he knows how business operates.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people like that. I mean, if I don't have instruction, like I could have all the knowledge in the world of how to cut something open and mm-hmm. do a heart surgery.
Yeah.
But if I don't know the intricacies of touch, yeah. feel, signs that there could be a problem,
yeah.
how to be engaged.
And the thing that for most people is the actual application of doing it the first time,
mm-hmm.
and they lose it because you're cutting open a physical person. You're cutting his tissue away, spreading mm-hmm. his chest, his ribs apart so you can get into the heart and look at it. That's awesome. I mean, most people can't handle that blood,
yeah.
that look of, you know, a human body.
Yeah. So wisdom comes from practical instruction.
Yeah.
Is there from what we're seeing, it seems that the Bible has a lot of practical instruction. How to not gossip,
mm-hmm.
how to not move your neighbor's borders, how to treat people with respect, don't murder, don't yeah. steal, don't commit adultery. Yeah.
Right, because I mean, you were just reading from Ecclesiastes where Solomon's going through all of this stuff and say, you know, vanity of vanities, and he's saying, you know, wisdom is the greatest thing, because he lived it out.
Yeah.
You know, David, we talk about David often, of when he screws up, he goes, oh my goodness, I screwed up big. Yahweh, forgive me and take me back, to where I belong. You know, it's just like, that's what we're reading. We're reading the mistake. We're reading the wisdom of going through moments.
Just this year, 2023, okay, in May, there is a convention that went on in Boston. You know what that convention was?
No, but I'm sure you'll tell us. I just have an instinct about that.
I know, right? It was a satanic convention being held in Boston. Now, I was listening to these things the other day, and they were saying, we believe in Satan because he doesn't conform to anything, and he doesn't try to restrict our knowledge. He doesn't try to restrict our brilliance, and man is made to be brilliant, okay? But yet they're talking to me in these costumes that look like they're straight from Halloween. Okay, they got capes and horns and masks on their face. And you're going, you look a little bit restricted to me.
Yeah.
I mean, my word, you guys.
They're not satisfied with how their natural look is. They have to fake it.
Yeah.
Well, and they're parodying somebody else, what somebody else has said. So their personal view has been restricted by themselves by, oh, I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about what somebody else is instructing me to do.
Yeah,
how to live.
Their foundational belief of what they want to try to promote is free thinking and being a champion of independence and personal expression. So free thinking and being a champion of independence and personal expression. You know, so how does that relate to the first verses that we thought of? These are fools.
As soon as we represent ourselves as believers of Yahweh, even though we're doing exactly what they told us we could do, they will come against us because we're not thinking what they think. We're thinking what we think.
Right.
You know?
We're not following their agenda.
Yeah.
And at the moment, they're trying to retrain their image. So their mission is to encourage benevolence, empathy, reject all tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits.
You know, what's really interesting, if you read that list completely separate from what we were just talking about, it really seems to line up with the same teachings of Yahweh, actually.
It's really close. This is what's really scary about it. Okay.
And so they've kind of taken what is good and just used it for evil.
Yeah. I don't know why I brought this up other than just I'm amazed at where our minds have taken us. People are trying to make sense of their identity. And since maybe they didn't find it in Scripture or find it with Yeshua, they're taking it out in another way.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I was into the a store. I shouldn't give the name of the store. And I was wearing my Yahweh and Son t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yahweh and Son Moving Company.
I know. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, where is this going to take me today? Mm-hmm. Well, the first place I took it to was in the workout gym because I was at a workout place. And mm-hmm. I'm working out, and this young kid comes up to me who is struggling with weights, by the way. I mean, he had just dropped the weightlifting bench bar, and he only had like 40 pounds on it.
Oh,
so
sure.
It was 80 pounds, and it just kind of dropped off to the side. He needed help, so I lifted it up for him, put it back on the rack. And anyways, he goes, "What's that? What's that word on your shirt?" I said, it's Yahweh. I said, "Do you know it?" He said, "I do. I'm studying Hebrew,
And
it's fabulous."
It's interesting, though, that he studying Hebrew, but he didn't know Yahweh.
Right. Okay.
Interesting.
So it hadn't really dawned on him yet. He says, "This is really cool. I'm glad you wore it." Okay. So we talked, but then from there I got to go to a store. Okay. So I go into this store and I got to come up to the checker stand. Well, the checker is in full regalia of satanic belief.
Can I guess what store this is?
Probably could. I mean, she's got the emblems, she's got the signals on, she has the t-shirts, she has the tattoos, and it's all about Satan. Believe me, it is there. So her eyes
are... This is a national chain?
Yeah. Her eyes are immediately drawn to my shirt. She doesn't say a word. She just smirks and looks the other way. Now, she's somewhat polite to me when I get up to buy. You know, and I say, how's your day going? Are you having a good day? Yes.
Well, yes, I am not talking to you.
Yes. But it was weird. I mean, we're getting to this point of where we're getting these divisions, you know, of belief systems.
Us and them.
Us and them. And I think we're going to go back to text point today, and I think we need to repeat it a lot. What is our purpose? What is our identity? Are we going to play the game of thinking that my only identity comes from what job I have or what I'm doing, or is my identity in a future life?
Mm-hmm.
And how hard is that to actually take in realistic sense? I mean, most of us put that cap on and go,
okay, it's all about God's kingdom, and I got to be a good boy, and I got to do these things, right?
Well, I mean, but, that's, in my opinion, that's a piss poor way of saying it.
Yeah.
Good.
Because even though it may be somewhat true that I'm in Yahweh's kingdom, that's a joy. I don't have to do anything. I want to do this
mm-hmm.
because he's my master. He's my king. He's my Lord.
But how did you find the joy?
I'm working at it.
Okay.
It's an ongoing process.
It's a great sales technique, Tuck. I got to tell you.
I'm a limited human being.
Wow.
And I haven't figured out how to use this brain.
Even with all the millibytes I just went over with you, yeah. and the terabytes and the betabytes.
That tells me how much volume is there. It doesn't tell me how to use it. And so,
you need an instruction manual.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to learn, how to work our system. It's like how to look at Yahweh. He is now. He's not then. He's not will be. He is now. He is the great I am. Aaron and I were talking about that when we first got here, is that mm-hmm. he is I am. There is no fundamental phrase that's more important than that two words,
right
I
on.
Am, because that says he is always. He is now. He is doing. He is current, and I have to be like that.
Yet I think Solomon is a great example because yes. Solomon went the route of not following
yeah.
Yahweh. He almost went the route of Satanism,
right.
which was it's all about him. It's all about how many wives, how many horses, how many
all
chariots.
All the things that Yahweh said don't do, he did.
He did it.
Yep.
But yet he comes back and says, look, I mean, this is what it's about. Let's go on in Proverbs because I think it's really important to finish this text up. Okay. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. So discern means.
Yeah. Because not only have you just. We get past the, okay, we have knowledge and we have wisdom, the applied part of the knowledge. And now we have the discernment of being able to what is right, what is good, what is bad, what is evil.
To balance it out,
yeah.
to digest it, to come to conclusions.
Yeah.
Not just superficially say, I'm taking this and I'm running with it, because that's a fool.
Right.
A fool receives a little bit of knowledge and then runs with it.
Mm-hmm.
But a person that's wise makes a discernment.
Yeah.
Do I open my mouth yet or do I keep my mouth shut?
Yeah.
Look at the next verse in 3 because this is amazing. To receive instruction is wise behavior.
Yeah.
So now I have to receive it.
Mm-hmm. You got to be open to it because it's a little bit of a humbling because now you know that, hey, maybe somebody else has a little more knowledge than me, and I can learn something from them, even though I may be very experienced in knowledge and have some wisdom of my own. But because I'm a wise person, I know that I can still learn from others.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, give me more information.
So let's take these first 3 points at the very beginning. To know wisdom, mm-hmm. to know it, to discern sayings, to receive instruction.
Yeah.
To know, to discern, to receive. That should make us stop and be really careful when we approach someone.
Yeah.
I have this passion for how we approach a new believer or someone that's new to the word.
Oh, no, just throw everything at them.
Right.
Everything.
The bus and all of it.
Yep. You know that Christmas is pagan.
Yeah.
You know that Easter is pagan. You got to get rid of your...
Right, hang on. We'll be right back.
listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
And welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, well, now, there we go.
Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. Got to turn on the buttons, right?
Yeah, that usually helps. I mean, it's just like when I try to drive my car without turning the key on, you know, and just I get a little further when I turn the key on.
You know, I wanted to, you know, we're talking about knowledge, we're talking about our identity and what our purpose is, and it's been fun to actually begin with, well, what is a fool? And we started with this idea of a fool because we had read the statements of a fool in Ecclesiastes.
You know, you. Let me draw a parallel here for you.
Okay.
You know Matt Walsh.
Yes.
He did a great documentary called What is a Woman?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
And it was really kind of funny to kind of watch so many people try to not define what a woman is.
Correct. Well, we even had a Supreme Court justice who actually did that.
Yeah. So when you said define what a fool is, I thought, why don't we, could you go and ask people who are, we would consider foolish to define what a fool is? Would they be able to define it
nowadays?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Cause it's all your own truth. It's my own truth.
Yeah.
This is what it means to me.
or they would say, yeah, a fool is a white male between the ages of 35 and 50 who's a Republican and thinks that guns are good.
I know.
No, that wouldn't be a fool.
Yes. I'm gonna check something. But before I do that, I want to read these texts.
Okay.
Isaiah 32:6. A fool speaks foolishness and makes evil plans. Isaiah 32:6. A fool speaks foolishness and makes evil plans. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats their folly. Wow. Proverbs 18:7. Fools do not learn their lessons from the mistakes they make. They continue doing the same foolish thing over and over again to their own destruction.
Have you, did you ever see the animated movie called The Bee Movie? It was a Jerry Seinfeld voiceover. He did the voice of this lead character.
No.
You ever see it? He plays this bee trying to discover he wanted to be one of the worker bees, but he was already assigned to be this other thing. Anyway, he gets lost out in the city and gets stuck behind a window. And as we know, you know, we've all experienced the bees, you know, trying to get out the window because they can't see glass. And like, just keep going, right? So they play on that little thing. And so he keeps running into it like the bees always do. This time, this time, this time, this time. And when he read that verse, that's what my thought was in my head. This time, this time, this time, this time, this time. No, it's just not, it's not working. And yet they keep trying to do the same thing.
History again.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone keeps trying to make a kingdom that belongs to man, and no one tries to think about making the kingdom or being in the kingdom of Yahweh.
Yeah.
Can we make something greater than him? Answer, no.
Nope.
No. Kingdom comes up and it gets destroyed. Another kingdom comes up and it gets destroyed. Here's some more.
Okay.
This is from Proverbs 1:22. A fool hates knowledge and takes no pleasure in understanding.
Because they already know what they think is real. And they don't want anybody else to tell them any different.
Dude, I've met that. We don't even see it. Well, we see it not only on the streets with people that are confronted with questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, if you take the works by Matt Walsh,
yeah,
he'll say something, well, what is a woman?
Mm-hmm.
And then the person can't answer. And then the person responds to him, go away, you're just an idiot. You're just an effing blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay? And then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to discuss. They don't want to have understanding.
Yeah.
And
they don't want to be challenged.
No, I was amazed that I even found this even in churches where someone will come out and say, you know, how dare you talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, why? Shouldn't we talk and actually explore and see if we can understand what this is saying? And the person said to me, says, well, I have a certain belief, and this is my belief. I'm never moving.
Christmas is Jesus' birthday.
And so I'm just going, what's up with that? Okay. Look at this in Proverbs 10:23. A fool enjoys wicked schemes. They enjoy it.
Yeah.
They get off on it. And in Proverbs 12:23, they proclaim folly and spurn a parent's discipline. How dare you discipline me? That's wrong. They speak perversity. They're quick-tempered. Gets himself into trouble with his proud speech. Mocks at sin. Is deceitful. Despises his mother. A foolish child brings grief to his parents. A foolish man commits sexual immorality. A foolish woman tears down her own house. This is all in Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Wow. But here is the prime example, and I think Tuck's going to appreciate this. The ultimate description of a fool is found in this one statement.
Okay.
It's found in the Psalms. A fool is the one who says in his heart, there is no God. And then David goes on and says, they are corrupt and their ways are vile. There's no one who does good. Wow. That's amazing me. Although fools can choose to become wise by heeding wise counsel and applying it, the Bible warns against associating with a fool. In fact, in Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harms. Walk with the wise, become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm.
Wow.
Wow.
Proverbs, I think, and I have been reading this year in Proverbs a little bit, and it seems like it's the book to read slowly.
You think? Because his poetry is so amazing.
Yeah.
And the fluidness of it.
I think that when you read it slowly, your mind actually has the time to think about the words and how it's being referenced,
yeah,
and what it means, instead of just read the book for pleasure, you get through it, hey, yeah, I kind of got the idea that, yeah, wisdom is good. But when you stop and you look at, like it said, wisdom and knowledge, it's like, oh, wait a minute. there's two different things there. But if you just read, hey, wisdom and knowledge, keep going, you don't have that time to kind of feel the weight of both of those things and that they're separated. So when you read this book slowly,
it's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, but I let's run down this list again.
Yeah.
And then we're going to put something into place. What Messiah says about this.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's from Proverbs, we learn that a fool hates knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
A fool takes no pleasure in understanding.
Right.
A fool enjoys wicked schemes and proclaims folly. They spurn the discipline of a parent. That means they don't want it. They speak in a perverse sense. They're quick-tempered. Gets himself in trouble because of his proud speech.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I was just... Conor McGregor is probably the greatest MMA fighter ever.
Yeah.
But his proud speech many times gets him into trouble. He says, I will knock this guy out in the first round. And yet he gets knocked on his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
A fool mocks at sin. A fool is deceitful. A fool despises his mother. Guy, how do you do that? But I know some mothers are bad.
There's that, yes.
A foolish child brings grief to his parents. And a foolish man commits sexual immorality. A foolish woman tears down her own house. But the ultimate fool is the one who says in his heart, there is no God.
So all of those things are bad. But that last one is, it says, well, this one's worse than all of the others.
Mm-hmm.
If you reject God, that's worse than all of it.
Because I think, as Tuck was saying earlier, when the great I Am says he's the I Am, there's so many things on this earth that point to him.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back to just the magnificency of our brain, how does that just happen out of a pool of sludge?
No, it doesn't. There's not enough time. I mean, it takes bazillions of years, not billions of years. But that's, I mean, have you ever looked at your eye?
Yeah.
You know, look, stand in the mirror and just look at the detail of the eye. That's just one eye. And how much is there? And somebody who knows eyes, knows the structure of it, can look at your eyes and say, oh, you have a sore left knee.
Yeah.
And what? How did you know that? You know, because it signals. It's
the
map
messages
of your body.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's just truly amazing. Everything shows up in your eyes.
There is a creator.
No.
There is the I Am.
And it's not chance. It's intent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, the favorite thing for me to utter to anybody, if you take a watch, a mechanical watch, take it completely apart, so you have hundreds and hundreds of pieces,
mm-hmm.
you pile it. Throw it up in the air. How many times are you going to throw it up in the air and it comes down into one solid piece?
It's not going to.
It's never going to happen.
I did it 3 times last week.
Yeah.
It takes an intelligent human being to put it together. This universe that we have.
Wasn't just throw it up and go kaboom and let's
put together.
So what do we do about this fool thing? Okay, so Messiah said something about this. Go to Matthew 5:22. And I want your guys' response to this because it seems to be diverging away from this idea of recognizing who fools are. Because even in Proverbs, it tells us again, walk with the wise, become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harms.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be around a fool because I become foolish, like the fool.
Right. I mean, just like when you travel, you know, like when we fly to, you know, the southern states, especially if we are from a southern state, we pick up that little bit of draw just because we're around it and you kind of get that same feel.
Yeah.
Right. And so then you come back home and everybody's like, what happened to you? Why are you talking funny? You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I was down in the south. So I just kind of pick up the way. So when you're around a fool, you pick up the foolish way.
Yeah. I was around an idiot and that's why I got drunk.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, but let's see what Yeshua says, because we got to balance this thing out. But I say to you, this is Matthew 5:22. But Yeshua says to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the hell of fire. Uh-oh. So we'd have someone looking at this and going, see? See? The Bible contradicts itself. What are you going to believe?
Where's the contradiction? I don't see it.
Well, we're told, you know, not to be around fools and to recognize what a fool is. But here it says again, so let's read it again carefully, and then I want your guys' response on this. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, you shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the hell of fire. What do we do with that? Let's take a look at this term, Raca.
Yeah, I was wondering about that one.
Okay. Raca means that you are implying that the person is utterly worthless. Okay? It's spoken from your heart of contempt. Say if I have huge contempt towards you.
Okay.
Okay? And I look at you, and I look at you with this despicable, you are utterly worthless.
Are you Sylvester? No.
Yeah.
That's despicable.
One thing to remember, Aaron, is that along with what Roland just said, it also means I spit on you. So he gives that definition. Along with the definition is the inference that he will spit on you because you disgust him.
Yeah. You're just the bottom of the bottom.
Yeah.
Mm. Spits the worst. I'm spitting on you.
Oh, yeah.
It's your phlegm. It's your booger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I can think of. I mean, because what worse thing other than being puked on?
Yeah.
I think being puked on would be worse, but puked on is an accident most of the time.
Yeah.
Spit on is not.
That's definitely an intentional action. Yeah.
Now there's. I'll give you a modern-day example of how this worked here a little bit.
Okay.
And then we'll look at this text again. I don't know if you guys have followed the life of Riley Gaines, but I think she's probably one of the most bravest women that are out
in the US familiar.
Today. She was the swimmer that
had
to compete against Leah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the only one that actually tied with him in one event. But she was not given the trophy because they felt that Leah Thomas was braver than her by competing as a transgender in the women's sporting event.
The dude was braver by going to the slower competition. Okay.
Yeah, a 6'4" wingspan of I don't know how long with his arms. And who is still in full intact as a male. Fully intact. But he's the brave one and she is not.
Yeah.
So Riley Gaines has gone out on a speaking tour promoting the idea that women need to stand up for their sports.
Yeah.
They need to stand up for locker room safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that only women can compete in their event because that's Title IX, and it's what separates them from the rest of the world. And
what I think is so interesting about this is you go back a decade or so, and you know, a little more than that as well, the big push nationwide was women's sports, women are great, women this, we need to have equality, and it's, you know, all of this, you know, pro women, boost them up.
But now it's been taken away.
Right. And now the focus has shifted to transgender, which is now erasing
women.
The women's sports.
Yeah. Well, she goes to this university in San Francisco. She has a nice conversation in a separate room of people who wanted to be there. She leaves the room. And the protesters come in, and she's within inches of losing her life. They actually have to escort her and get her away to a room to lock her into it because they're spitting at her. They're yelling at her. They're yelling vile things at her. Okay?
Because women are horrible.
Right. So I'm looking at this text that we just read, this term Raca, okay? And I think the Messiah is forming a distinction between how a believer behaves versus how a non-believer might behave. Because if you look at this text and you go just a little bit further, right?
Okay.
But whoever says, who is angry with his brother. So that's the first clue.
Mm-hmm.
If you're angry, you're going to be guilty before the court. But if you say you're worthless to your brother, you shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. But you fools shall be guilty enough to go into the hell of fire. Fool, again, is a little bit more of a descriptive idea, which is to an equivalent to a modern-day statement would be damn you. I damn you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which is basically saying you're going into hell itself.
Right.
So what position does that put the believer in? If I make that statement, the believer says, I'm God.
Right.
Because I'm damning you to hell.
Right.
Rather than letting God be the judge.
Yeah. And I was going to say judging. They were judging. And that is not our role. It's to that kind of judging, that type of judging.
It's not my pay grade.
Right. We are supposed to have discernment on people and decide, you know, are what they're doing, you know, good or they're bad, you know, that judgment.
That's discernment.
But when we're talking about in this kind of judgment in here, it's like, no, that's not us.
It's not our job.
So if we're saying you're the fool, okay, I've taken on a judgment that I shouldn't be taking on. Yeah.
So now if we look at this and go a little bit further, if therefore you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. So notice how this whole text is talking about how you're approaching your brother, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is already a distinction. This is a brother who believes similar to you.
Yeah.
So I can't be angry with them. I can't think of them as worthless. And I cannot damn them to hell because that's God's job.
Right.
Now, if I go to
we might be able to say, hey, brother, you're kind of going down the wrong path here. It looks like, and have that conversation with somebody.
You can have a conversation.
But you don't have the authority to say you're going to hell.
Or to even say that someone's lost. That's not my pay grade.
Right.
That's what God deals with.
Yeah.
And so here it goes again. So imagine this guy, he's dealing with their brother, all right? And then he goes to the altar as a self-righteous, pious person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And he forgets all about him being angry, him calling someone a fool, and calling them worthless and damning them to hell.
Right.
No wonder Messiah says, you better leave this altar.
Yeah. You don't belong here right now. You need to move on, pal.
It ain't working, all right? It's just not working.
Yeah.
I just find this fascinating. The position of judgment belongs to only Yahweh. And I think that's what we got to get to do. So how do we put this in relationship to our world of dealing with fools or people that are calling God foolish and don't want to believe in him? And we see all the characteristics of it. How do we deal with someone who is following the description of being a fool in the Bible? We're going to get back to that on the next half hour, so keep that in mind, guys. Get ready to give me an answer. If you want to call into us, you can do that at 503-967-3001. Or write to us at the number 3.
At
Hebrew Nation. That's the number 3.
At
Hebrew Nation.net. Or give us a call at 503-967-3001. We'll see if we can pick you up the next half hour. How do we deal with the fool?
Listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the nations.
Sometimes I think of Abraham.
This is Mike Clayton of Joined to Hashem. This song, Step by Step, has been a theme for many years of my life and a weekly teaching called Living Torah. Check the program schedule for showtimes. Join me on Hebrew Nation Radio 4 times a week as we pursue a covenant land, and a kingdom where the living Torah, Yeshua, will take up his throne.
Actually have you on this time, Tuck.
Oh, good.
Pretty good, right?
I'll speak, though.
Yeah, you can speak.
Okay.
You know, before we weren't letting you speak.
Well, you were still letting me speak, but you were blocking me.
Muting you, yes.
Wow. I won't say anything more foolish, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to hold you to that one.
Yeah, right. We're talking about the fool. We're talking about how to be knowledgeable. In fact, we've gone over a number of things here today. Is trying to figure out what's our identity in this world? How do we make sense of it? So we read Ecclesiastes, and that led us to continue to discussion towards the Proverbs of how to be wise. And we learned that we needed to discern, we needed to be able to take instruction, and that kind of led us to the fool. The fool's the one who doesn't want to take instruction, and they speak foolishness, and they're inclined to believe their own words rather than, you know,
right,
words that are coming from Yahweh.
Or just make up nonsense in the absence of wisdom.
Yeah. And so we're seeing this happen in our world today. So the question kind of responds to us is, how do we deal with this? Okay. And is it in our pay grade to even worry about it? Should we, or should we stay clear? Matthew, in the book of Matthew, Jesus, Yeshua, talks about how we're not to call our brother a fool, but we got to look at the context of that in this last half hour. That means we're not calling our brother worthless or the epitome of scum.
Just saying that just right then brought to mind myself when I view Yeshua giving that command and then looking at myself. Remember all the times in your own life, you two, and myself included, when you've ever called somebody a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really be honest with yourself and look at that situation, whatever it was? And if I ever took the time to call anybody a fool, there was such hate in me when I called them a fool, because a fool is a fool. I mean, we all know what that means in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We might not have the same exact definition, but a fool is a wicked thing. All right. When I called somebody a fool, there was such disdain in my heart for that person because they were a fool.
Mm.
You know, and that's what Yeshua is cautioning us against,
yeah,
because we are taking his position.
Yeah.
That's judgment. That's his control that we are taking from him.
Can the same apply to when we determine in our own minds that someone is absolutely evil and beyond redemption?
You asked what can we use these informational pieces for? Is that it doesn't do us any good to hold on to things, but that what you just asked, that is a good thing because it helps me to know how to pray for this individual. Because if I do nothing else, I have to pray for them. And that's where most of us fails, because we don't pray for the person. We just think wickedly of them.
Let me go back to Riley Gaines, because I heard her interview after this event happened at the San Francisco University. In fact, what was so amazing is that the university itself came out with a report
that they believed that the riot towards Riley Gaines was peaceful and that everything was fine and that there was no apology needed.
That's why they had to remove her and lock her in a room.
Yeah.
Was because it was peaceful and there was nothing wrong. Yeah.
And these are women. She was hit in the face by a transgender man. She was spit on.
Peacefully hit in the face.
Peacefully hit in the face. So she goes on this interview and they ask her, what's her strength like? You know, how is she doing and how could she handle this? And her response just amazed me. She goes, you know, actually, I felt sorry for these people. She says, I believe in Yahweh. Well, I believe in God. And I am actually praying for them.
Wow.
She says, this is a serious issue and we need to learn how to be strong. Now, she's 21, 22 years old.
Right.
She's just a kid,
mm-hmm.
at least in my book.
Yeah.
You know, I.
For an old guy.
For an old guy.
For an awfully mature kid, but she was still a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20, 21 years old is young.
And so I'm wondering if what is our requirement of us being in the kingdom? And I think you just touched on something really important. Our requirement is not to be angry or to form judgment. That's God's business, right. Yahweh's business. Our job is to constantly portray who Yeshua is and who Yahweh is,
right.
To share that information. Let's go back historically. I can't imagine the martyrs being burned at the stake, yelling profanity and obscenities at the crowd about how foolish they are.
Yeah.
Even though they're definitely fools.
Yes.
Okay. But you would always hear stories of them singing praises.
Mm-hmm.
And praising. Yeah.
Praising God. Saying things like what Yeshua said when he was on the cross. Father, they know not what they do. Basically,
Father, forgive them.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so we have a big chore to be doing. In churches, this is how it goes along, like in fellowships. You might have someone show up at the fellowship who is bound and determined that a certain group of people are just flat out evil. And they may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But is it our job to classify that?
No.
I'm wondering.
The only time it ever becomes our job is if they begin to do harm to anybody. And we're there. And then we have to stop them from doing a person harm.
But see, I agree, yes. But that's not a judgment of they are an evil people.
No.
That's just defending,
yeah.
You know, physically defending to save life, right? And so even at that, we're not supposed to be judging them.
No, they committed a provocation.
Right.
You know.
Okay, so a person comes in to a home group, fellowship, or a church, and you know this person belongs to the Church of Satan. I mean, you know it. The regalia's on.
Mm-hmm.
The smoke's on them. You can smell it on them. You know everything about them
mm-hmm.
is evil and
yeah.
foolish.
They just came back from Target.
Okay, yeah, right. So what do you do? And is there a difference between, well, yeah, let's just take that one instance. What's our job?
Well, there's a number of factors involved. I would hope that I would remember this if this was ever happened to me, is that one, take it to the Holy Spirit. Hey, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Give me some feedback. Give me some words of knowledge. And I can think of one is that, hey, brother, hey, sister, can I pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately take the offensive and take them out of the controlling seat and you take control and pray, offer them up to Yahweh.
Yeah, because then Yahweh's in control.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this. It was on a video and this was a pastor. He's a Southern Baptist pastor, big black man that used to be a former police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids come in and he sees that they have guns on them or right. he suspects it.
Mm-hmm.
They sit down and that guy walks right up to him, right? I know what you're here for, boys. and you need to meet God.
You need to be Jesus.
Yeah, you need to repent right now. Okay, these kids are in shock, right? So I'm thinking our job many times for us to be wise, number one, is to know who the giver of wisdom is. Use discernment in knowing how to approach someone,
mm-hmm.
like what you just said, and then call on his name to be the provider.
Yeah.
One of your favorite movies was, because you're the movie man, is The Prayer Room.
The War Room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the old lady gets her purse taken out in the garage,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And all she does is yell,
"Shame
Jesus.
On you!"
Yeah. In Jesus' name, right?
Yeah. She starts calling him out right there. And they're like, "I've got a gun on you." He's like, "Really, little old lady?
Yeah, what are you doing?" And she preaches at him, right? Is that our job? You know, I think that's our job.
That's the only job that we have that I've been able to discern is we are to witness.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to do anything. We're not to preach. We're not to do anything other than witness Yahweh, witness Yeshua. Yeah. And if a person asks us the question, well, then that frees us up to use words.
Mm-hmm.
Because until that happens, I don't feel that we have the ability, freely given ability, not the capability, but the ability to preach the word. Mm-hmm. We have to witness through our actions.
Well, maybe you are a person that's called out. What comes to mind is Jonah. What comes to mind mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. John the Baptist. What comes to mind is Peter. In fact, we're coming into Shavuot, Pentecost right now. Peter stands up and preaches. What does he preach? Messiah.
Right.
I think that's what it gets down to.
Yeah. But see, you mentioned only three people out of, how many different people are in the Bible there. It's a very small portion of people that's that job. You know, I remember walking into some churches and some fellowships where it seemed like everybody there felt like they had the gift of prophecy and that's what they were supposed to do. And it's like, no, that's not everybody's job.
You might not be called that.
Right. Yeah. It's a very select few that level of prophecy, if you will, is them. And so it's not everybody, but yes, like Tuck was saying, it is our job to be a representation of Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
But to live it out, maybe not preach it out, but live it out.
But you're still flawed.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment I step out, mm-hmm. I'm a flawed person. So I'm not Messiah. I'm not Yeshua.
Yeah.
You know, so all the more reason, according to Tuck, probably just shut up and listen.
Well, yeah. That's what I say is that we should be very careful how we use our words. And most of the times we're not. We just react to situations.
Yeah.
Spout out instead of stopping and praying and thinking. And doing righteously, doing well. And if that is a trigger to people, they will say, "How can you do this? I've mm-hmm. seen how they treat you and you're still this way.
No.
How does that happen?" Well, then that allows me to speak, you know, and so, and that's a tough call. I mean, it's thinking full time and most of us don't do that.
Most of us don't do it at all. Thinking.
We just react.
Yeah.
So speaking of reacting, let's go to Ephesians 1
okay,
and see if this is a good reaction. I don't know, but this is where you're leading me, Tuck, or where the Spirit's leading me, because we're talking about our identity. What is our purpose in this kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's spelled out for us in Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. Blessed be Yahweh. Okay, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. Notice the word "in" is used a couple different times.
Mm-hmm.
In heavenly places in Messiah. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him.
See, that's different. Instead of in him, it's before him.
Before whom?
Him.
Yahweh. See, if I'm in Messiah, I'm held holy and blameless before him,
yeah.
Yahweh. So if I take it back to that beginning, blessed be the Father. Okay? Of Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where does our spiritual blessing come from? Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In the heavenly places, in Christ. That's our blessing. Then he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, in Messiah, because John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word,
yeah.
and the Word was God, and was in God, or with God. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So now we come back. It's like that, a full circle, like mm-hmm. in Hebrew. Everything in Hebrew, well, Paul was a rabbi scholar. And he thinks in a Hebraic fortune.
Yeah.
So he writes in this circular motion mm-hmm. all the time. He predestined us to adoption as sons through whom? Yeshua HaMashiach, to himself. That's even going back again to the Father. According to the kind intention of the Father's will.
Mm-hmm.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Who's the Beloved? Yeshua, HaMashiach. Yeah. So you see what he's doing. If I put the covering of Messiah on me, if I'm in Messiah, then he works through me.
Right.
If I do not put on the covering of the Messiah, I'm no longer in him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be like him, and therefore I'm being paraded around in my works rather than in Messiah.
Yeah.
So again, all the more reason why I believe what Tuck's statement is true. If I worship him and I come in him and I shut up and I wait for him to cover me, then he works outside of me.
Yeah.
It's not me who does the working. I'm just
there as part of it, and I'm the tool that he is using at the time.
And hopefully I listen to the spirit that he's imparting to me.
Yeah.
So I actually know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I come in with an agenda, then it becomes really arrogant, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's like if you've been in these situations, and you probably have, hasn't happened often to me, but it has happened, to where you're in the midst of making a statement to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And part of you, this is why I know that we're designed for great things, but part of me is, while I'm speaking, right in the midst of this utterance, I'm wondering, where in the heck is this coming?
Yeah, yeah.
How do I have this knowledge? Where is this from? Because I don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking through me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of those times to where you're just, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's an awesome thing to be able to see that.
So how does that help? We started this conversation. How do we know what to do when we're in the presence of a fool? We can recognize the fool because we got the descriptions from Proverbs, right?
Right.
They enjoy wickedness. They proclaim folly. They don't like parents' discipline. So he gives us all of these descriptions so we can recognize it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So now what do we do?
Lift them up.
How do you lift them up? Maybe they're not ready to be lifted up.
Well, that's not up to me to decide. It's up to me to say, Yeshua, you know, one, do you want me to do something? And if that is so, well, then what? You know, and if nothing comes, well, then I have to lift them up in prayer. I say, bless them, Father, because this is beyond me. This is above my pay grade, but it's not above yours. Take this individual, man or woman, and witness to them. Touch their hearts.
You know, one of the things I love on some of these videos that show up that seem to quiet foolishness is that you'll have a person that's really quiet. They don't respond in anger. But then they'll say something like, how did you get to this conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
Or what happened in your life that made you so angry? Or can you tell me a little bit about yourself so I can understand what you're trying to say?
Right.
That seems to just like...
Yeah, well, they're extremely civil.
Puts a lid on it.
Yeah.
Now, if the person who's foolish decides they don't want to hear anymore, they usually walk off in complete disgust, cursing. Right?
Or they'll do like we've seen on some shows, Don Lemon has done this on occasion, where they just get all up and they get angry and they just cut off the person because they're talking nonsense to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to hear what you're saying. And so I'm going to go my way and you don't get to talk anymore. It's like, well, that's not a discussion there anymore.
No, it's not.
You're just dictating what you want, whether it's true or not.
Well, maybe discussion isn't needed anymore in all reality. Because if I can't reach him, just like what I was hearing from Riley Gaines, because they were asking her, well, are you able to reach anyone? And do you know what her response was? Was simply,
no.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
In a place like San Francisco, though, it would probably be no.
Yeah.
Because so much of their mentality is shut off of, nope, it's all about, you know, all of our personal agendas of, you know, we identify as, you know, a slug, so fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whether or not Riley was aware of it at the time, she probably instinctively understood that it wasn't her job. Her job was just to witness the truth.
Mm-hmm. She actually said that. Yeah. She says, my job is to tell what's going on so people are aware.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And said, then if they want, you know, now they got to deal with it. But I need to do this. She is put on. She's accepted into the university for the School of Dentistry.
Which university?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But she was supposed to go to dentistry. She's putting this on hold right now. Because of how many
engagements speak. Okay.
She's getting to speak.
All right.
And she's so impassioned about this that she's saying, well, I'm young enough, I'm going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And off she goes. And I think this is the difference. I mean, some are called to preach. Some are called to listen. Some are called to be a healer. Just this last week, we went over 1 Corinthians, learning about what the gifts of the Spirit are. Some of us are called to be administrators. Some of us are called to be teachers. Know your identity and then allow God to work through you rather than being in a fool about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know. Wow. Grace be to you. Blessed be God the Father.
I don't know if you've looked at this, Roland. You probably have because you're a musician, that type of mentality. If you've not thought about this specifically, do, and ask prayer support for you. But in all battle instances, regardless, when Yeshua is in charge, who are the first people in the battle? Musicians, singers, praisers. And so that to me is just mind blowing because I never would have thought that. But once I understood, because they're praising him, and that's what who is leading us to fight war, and it's to promote Yahweh and to promote Yeshua, as we need to sing praises. And that's an awesome thing. And so we as parishioners, whether you go to a church or a congregation or a synagogue, whatever it is, you need to understand that, because you as a believer, a fellow believer, you have to support your brethren, your sistren, and help them, give them strength. And if you're not a praise warrior, if you're not a leader and a singer type thing, you are still a supporter.
Yeah,
if you don't know how to do that, then you're lacking.
Thanks for being a witness. Psalms 149. Praise Yahweh. Sing to Yahweh a new song. And his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
The darkness must flee from the light.